Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night call. We're getting all the moderators on board. We have Jesse and John with us already, and the others will be joining us momentarily. I'd like to welcome you to the open Tuesday night call. It is the 11th day of February already of the year 2014. That is amazing, Jesse. We're a third of the way through February.
Yeah.
You know, where's the time going?
I don't know, but it's and we're not gaining any, that's for sure. Good evening, everybody. How you doing, John?
Pretty good, Jess.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, we're definitely not gaining. We're heading downhill, man.
That's it.
You know, it is what it is. But anyway, guys, listen, thanks for joining. Dave, I just want to make our short disclaimer again, guys. Listen, tonight we're going to have a lot of fun discussing different legal situations and legal information and how we handle ours, and we might discuss our own good news and how things are working out for us. But again, we're not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys, and we don't want to be attorneys. If you are seeking legal advice, we suggest that you go hire yourself an attorney or go speak with an attorney and get some legal advice, because we don't even know what it is. As Dave says, I wouldn't know how to give it. All I know is that we're going to have a lot of fun discussing it. Legal information and all the different scenarios that we run into with these dummies, debt collectors, attorneys, banksters, and just name anybody who's trying to collect a debt from you. And most of them know the law less than most of our listeners. So that's the wonderful thing about it. But other than that, we're going to run through the show. I want to do something changing tonight, Dave. I want to try to get the good news and shorten it down. It seems like we've had just too much hang time with the good news, and I know a lot of it's my own rambling sometimes. But I want to make sure that we bring that down to a bare minimum.
Yep.
Just a few words, you got it, and we go. And then let's get on to the Q&A. Let's try to do like a 15-minute good news and then move on with Q&A. And you might want to tell everybody exactly what to do, how to raise their hand, how to drop their hand after the question's done or their comments and get done.
Yep,
but other
absolutely.
Than that, I'm good, guy.
All right. Well, for those people that do have good news for us, all you have to do is hit the one key on your phone. You don't have to hit a pound sign or anything like that. Just hit the one key, and that will put you in the queue so that we can see you for good news. We do want to hear the good news, obviously, because, you know, the good news can be anything from getting a check in settlement to having a good outcome with a case or possibly you know, a court appearance that goes well. There's any number of ways good news can come to us. But, you know, we hear enough about the negative side of things, we got to pick up that good news. So please, if anybody has got that, go ahead and hit your one key on your phone, and that'll get you in the queue so that we can get you up to bat. So let's see. We've got a couple people here. Let's go to 5-7.
I've lost John. Did we lose David? Hello? Hello? What happened here, guys? Larry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Where'd David go? I think he got knocked off somehow or other. You there, John?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think David got knocked off on accident. Guys, just hold on. Dave will call back. I don't know if he just got hung up on or what happened. But I'm sure he will be back.
Unless an irate debt collector went to his house and knocked on the door.
Anyway, listen, I'm going to go ahead. That could be it, too, or the phone rang. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm sure our listeners can hear me. I'm going to go ahead and make some announcements. I'm trying to get, as you know, the Roundtable Club, and we'll start that sometime in March. I'm waiting. I think I'm going to cut that off. It's driving me crazy. I think I'm going to cut it off like this Friday. So anybody that's interested in getting in that has not sent me the email, at the email sent out, then come Friday, if you haven't got at least a yes from you, I'm done with it. Whatever's in there, and we're done. I'm not going to – I just can't. It's driving me crazy. I got too many other things on my plate. The other thing we're going to do is take off. I want to launch something also in March, as we usually do a series, and I'm not sure exactly what. I'm going to post it up on the forum. I'm going to give the members a choice of what they really, really want to do. I think that's the best direction. In the past, we've done the foreclosure bash, the credit card issues, the TCPA takedown. We've done all these things. But I want to go ahead and bring something up that the members truly want. And that's what I really want, is for them to post. So I'm going to post something on the forum tonight while we're actually doing the show, requesting your help with this. So I am wondering where David is. I wonder what happened to him. I just don't see him.
He sent me a message back that he was disconnected and he's trying to get back in.
Okay, good enough.
So, and Terry says she's on the call. She's listening in.
Well, there
we have Larry.
714, isn't she?
I'd have to stop and look.
I can hear John.
There you
go. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, here I go. I got I got unceremoniously dumped.
That's happened times too over the years, I will admit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to have to dust off and clean up here a little bit. It took me a couple of times to even get back in. Yeah, but that's all right.
Anyway,
that's not the first time that's happened in my life.
What I was saying is I want to try, you know, we've done the foreclosure bash. Maybe we ought to do another foreclosure bash too or something and bring it up to date with all the different tactics and strategies we've done or, you know, some more TCPA. But I think I'm going to do something on the forum for like 4 or 5 days and then take it down of what exactly is it that would benefit our membership as a whole for another special series that I want to start sometime in March. So I think along with the roundtable, that's going to be a more in-depth approach to things with certain members. I'm going to, you know, do our normal seasonal type 6 or 7 week course. But so I'm going to leave it up to the members. Do you guys think that's a good idea? Just go ahead and let them tell us what they want versus always us cramming something that they might want.
Well, absolutely.
I think that's going to be the best approach this year, is let them give them. We'll give them two of them for the fall, one for the spring and one for the fall, and maybe something in the summer like we did last year, which is a little short, 3 or 4 week deal, but let them choose exactly what it is they want. I think that's going to be the best way. So
absolutely.
Just keep that in mind for the listeners. Yeah. We've had, just so you know, on the Blog Talk Radio, we've had since the inception of this, which is this will be the sixth episode, we've had almost 3,500 downloads, which is unbelievable. To me, that's just absolutely unbelievable. So the word's getting out there, and people are actually listening, and I prefer them to be live, of course, because we can get better questions in, and there's no such thing as a stupid question. So all questions are good, but we just get a lot of people that don't get on, and then they listen to it during the week, which is fine, too. We just can't get direct contact and communication with them. But so it's been a pretty good little deal, this blog talk. I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, my good news is this. Last year I sued PRS for $2,500, and they came back and sent me another demand for the same exact debt with the same exact letter, because I double-checked it already. So it's going to be a short and sweet email. It's just, do you want to cut me another check, or do I really need to go through all the formalities of, you know, bill me out as a janitor service or something? I don't know. Just send me a check. Because I have to file a lawsuit, you know. So there you go. That's my good news. That's an easy $2,500. And as if you guys
maybe
know,
they just want to sign up for direct deposit.
Yeah, maybe I ought to put that in the email. Geez, John, that's a good one. Damn it, I got to do that. So, all right,
well,
let's get on with good news. Let's continue. That was awesome, John. I forgot about
that. We're
gonna
do it again.
Yeah, you idiots. You want to sign up for direct deposit? Or what do you, how do you want to handle
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys want to make a habit of it, we can make this easy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Golly, man.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, the only good news I have is I've sent out several more notices of intent to litigate. So we'll see what happens. We'll see whether people want to respond and play Let's Make a Deal, or whether they want to do it the hard way. It's up to them, you know. So, anyway, let's go back to 571, see if you have some good news for us. Area code 571. Okay, evidently they don't have any good news for us, so we'll jump down to 702 for good news. You have been unmuted. You got some news for us?
I'm 702, but maybe I want to ask a question.
Okay, well, we'll get to the questions in just a little bit.
Okay.
All right,
yes,
we're doing good news right now. Thanks. We'll be back to you. All right, let's go to 714 for good news.
Yeah, hi, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
How
are you?
Good. You know how it is, man. Anyways, Dave, I had called prior on your Dallas talk yet, and we had talked about settlement agreements, and I was a little, very upset over what I had signed. Anyway, I got the settlement agreement to change. I had them make it less broader, and I was able to redo my settlement agreement. That's my good news.
Oh, that's
well,
awesome,
very
man.
Good. Yeah, that is
yeah,
good
even
news.
After I had signed it, that's good that she was willing to go ahead and change it around for me.
Yeah.
Well, hey, there you go.
Good.
So you evidently did a good job of negotiating with her.
Yeah,
and
well, it was all by
great.
Letter, all by mail. It's better by email than to talk to them on the phone because sometimes they like to, wordsmith things.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
And the other thing about talking to them on the phone is when you're doing that, they say something, you got to come back with an answer right away. It doesn't give you a chance to think about it from a strategy standpoint, which you do have when you're doing email. You don't necessarily have to respond within 10 minutes of getting their email. So there are distinct advantages to doing it that way, no doubt about it. And it sounds like you had a good outcome doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was my good news, Dave.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. You would, go ahead and do me a favor and press the 1 key so it takes you out of the queue. That'd be great. Thanks very much. Okay. We got, let's see here. Let's go to 321, see if we've got some good news here. 321,
yeah,
you were just unmuted.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good. How you doing,
good?
Brian?
I was going to say, that's a familiar voice.
Yes, yeah, Brian. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone. Might be a little tough to hear, but.
Oh, we're hearing you good.
I finished up negotiating today and ended up for $7,500 for 15 calls.
All
hey.
Right.
Awesome, dude.
That's good.
Yeah, that was a nice one. No, didn't file a lawsuit, didn't have to. Wrapped it up probably in about, 4 or 5 emails.
That is awesome.
Very good.
Calls.
That, It's really great when you can do that, when you can wrap it up without having to go through the litigation process. And, that's just a good indication that they know on the other end that, they screwed up. Let's face it. They violated the law, and they got to pay.
Good call.
Super.
Yeah, that's the first time that happened to me, so that was nice.
Yeah, take those when you get them, right? And who is it that's
appreciate
clicking on the
okay,
keys?
Thanks.
Is that you, Terry, clicking on the keys?
I thought I was muted. I thought you didn't unmute me yet. So I'm just typing away.
I unmuted you.
I didn't hear it. Well, I'm here, and I'll just mute my phone.
Okay. I heard that clicking. Oh, dear.
When it's fast
right.
clicking, it's got to be Terry, right?
There you go. Yep. If that's the worst thing that happens, we're all in great shape. All right. Well, thank
exactly.
you very much, Brian. Man, that is just absolute super news. That's great. Congratulations.
It is. Man, that stuff's cool.
Yeah, you guys have a good night. I'll be listening.
All right. You too.
Awesome, Brian.
And please hit that 1 key on your phone to take you out of the queue, if you would, please. All right. Let's check out 931 here, see if we got some good news there. 931, you've been unmuted.
Is that me?
You're talking to us.
Well, I don't really have good news, but I have a question, so maybe I should come back later.
I got
in a queue too early.
Yeah. Oh, I need to get the wet noodle out, I see.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. Jesse, we don't have any others that have jumped in for good news, so why don't we just start right here with this gentleman, and go ahead and jump up with your question. We'll just get rock and rolling.
Hi, Jesse. Hi, Dave. Hi, guys. Hi, Siri. We joined up with you guys that kind of had a three-month hiatus. But I'm back down here in Florida and Volusia County, and I've got some foreclosure proceedings, or one particular foreclosure proceedings. They served I'm going to accept service on behalf of my father tomorrow because he's in a nursing home now. I think you guys may have recalled this case before where I was going to be representing my dad via the Power of Attorneys Act in Florida.
Yeah.
So anyway, it looks like it's going to go forward. They're going to it's Wells Fargo masquerading as Wachovia, or Wachovia masquerading as Wells Fargo, because
well, Covey can't masquerade as anybody. So if they're there, you need to get rid of them.
Yeah, well, here's a question. I'm glad you're on the call, then. I forgot you're going on the call. The $600 question is, does a corporate merger, because that's what happened when Wells Fargo took over Wachovia in 08 after the Bear Stearns blow up.
Right.
Does that constitute a transfer of interest of the note?
Well, I'm not a corporate law expert by no means.
Yeah.
But I would assume that when two corporations merge, there has to be transfers of assets. There has
right.
to be a legal transfer. It just can't say, oh, it just happened.
Right.
Because think of a marriage or a divorce.
Right.
Think about these things. And that's just on a common law type, everyday thing. On a corporative, Larry and I or Dave and I were to have two businesses together, we'd have to merge assets and say, okay, we're going to merge assets, and we got to merge them legally. Can't you? It just doesn't happen.
Well,
so
they didn't post the allonge. They didn't post the note. They had a verification of the complaint, but it was signed by supposedly a person that I thought was a bogus verification. And I did call Wells Fargo, and this person does work at Wells Fargo out in Iowa. I was able to get that information today on the phone, but she verifies this complaint, but there's no allonge proving that they have ownership of the note.
Well, if there's no allonge, it means it's not endorsed.
Right.
Right?
So he, because, here's one of the lines of the complaint. Plaintiff is owner, holder, or has right to enforce all interest in a subject promissory note and mortgage, including but limited to the right to maintain this foreclosure action by virtue of successive mergers initiating with the original lender. Well, I'm saying, show me the corporate merger, if that's what you're going to base your ownership on. Because you can hold the note, but it doesn't mean you own it.
Yeah,
owning it
or having the rights to enforce it are completely different things.
So my question is, like, should I, I'm going to probably have to get served tomorrow on behalf of my dad. I already emailed him the power of attorney, the trial attorney for, by the way, I don't know if you know these guys. Can I see him over the air?
Of course.
Okay. Aldrich and Connors out of Delray Beach?
No, never heard of them.
Okay. Anyway, my plan of attack right now is just to file a motion for extension of time. Because I sent off a,
To do what?
Well, I sent off a QWR to Wells Fargo.
Okay.
And that may take time if ever get back. Plus, I can have time to get my answer and affirmative defenses written up.
Yeah, I understand that. I just asked you a question and you haven't answered it yet.
Okay. Go ahead.
A motion of enlargement of time to what? Did I not hear what you said, or did you say it and I just missed it?
No, I've never done before. I've never done one before, so I don't know what to deal with that.
It's a two-line. Yeah, it's a two-line motion. It's not a big deal. You still haven't answered the question. A motion of enlargement for what?
To
third and final time.
To draft the answers.
No, it's just a motion of enlargement of time to answer. That's it.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Go crazy.
Okay.
Just go to the site. You're a member. Go to the site. Type in motion for enlargement, and it pops right up. That's Florida. It's got everything you need right there.
Yeah, I already saw it. It was amazingly brief.
There's nothing
if it ain't
there.
Broke, don't fix it.
Don't try to overcomplicate things. Yeah, that's what gets people in trouble.
I guess you've seen it before. People do overthink this stuff. Here's a bit of a conundrum. I've got to travel back up to Tennessee this weekend. What normally does the judge give for an extension of time? How many days?
Those kind of questions cannot be answered, and I'll tell you why. You could put that in, and it could sit there for 6 months before the judge says, hey, go ahead and answer this complaint. You got 20 days.
Okay.
Literally could be that long.
My concern is they would file the default summary judgment, motion for summary judgment behind my back. I have to overcome that.
Well, that's easy. Most of them do that, and it just sits in the file anyway, so it's irrelevant. That's okay. No big deal.
I'm just thinking, should I try to set a hearing date before I leave town, or should I file a motion for a larger amount of time, just leave it at that and let the ducks fall?
Have you filed a dispute yet with them, too?
I'm sorry?
Have you filed the notice of dispute with them?
No, that's going to be coming up. I'm asking you with it, right?
You what?
That notice of dispute has to be with the motion for a larger amount of time, correct?
Have to be with anything, but yeah, you put it in there with it simultaneously.
Right.
I haven't filed that yet. Yeah, hurry up and get that done, because remember they would fall under the debt collection definition. So just remember that.
Yeah, and there is a federal thing I can go ahead and dive into if I want to come after them on that angle, which I'm really going to consider, because I just don't. I mean, this is maybe just a someone who's not as experienced as you guys are, but why would someone file a complaint and not put the allonge in? Wouldn't the court say, why are you messing with the court's resources and time? Why don't you just put the evidence in the record right now?
Okay. Do you know what an allonge is, where it's supposed to be, and how it's supposed to work?
It's a stamp on the back of the note.
It's stamped on
the
front of the note.
Front of the note?
Yeah.
Okay.
Front of the note or on a document attached to the note.
Right.
Okay. So think about what I just said, right? When you say it's not there, is it really not there?
Well, why didn't they put it into their record? And they said right here in their complaint that it should be right there.
Oh, God. I ask you a question, and you go off on something else. Why do you think that the allonge is not there?
Well, I'm assuming it's not there because they haven't shown in an evidence, an exhibit.
Okay, so it's not attached to the complaint, right?
Correct.
It's not. I'm trying to bring you down so you can get this and just do a motion to dismiss and get rid of this. But you got to answer my questions and not go off on your own little thing, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so if there's no allonge, if there's no assignment, if there's no evidence that would reflect them as having a connection to the note, why wouldn't you just do a motion to dismiss based on that fact? That's literally zero evidence attached to the complaint. So why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah. I guess I think I would need more time to draft my answers, but I could answer and then just file a motion to dismiss.
No. See, you can't do both. If you answer, you answer. If you dismiss the complaint, you dismiss the complaint. You can't do both.
Okay. I thought I was bound to answer the complaint.
No.
Okay. Well, what's the downside by doing it that way? Is it leaving myself exposed, or is there any kind of negative
downside if they got to dismiss the complaint? How's that downside to you? They no all of a sudden no longer have a case. Is that a downside to you?
Well, they would appeal that. They would appeal that and file another motion. I may not be in town to rebut it. That's the only thing.
they can't appeal a motion to dismiss. The judge will give them 30 days to amend it.
Okay.
Then they have to refile it.
Okay.
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 So that's what I'm trying to tell you. You need to study up some more. Okay.
Well, absolutely.
Because obviously what you just said on here is that they've got zero evidence of them having any connection whatsoever to the note. Did anybody not hear him say anything to the contrary, or is that what I heard and what Dave heard and Larry heard?
I hear the same thing you hear, Jesse.
Yeah. No Orange, no nothing. Hearsay. And they verified the complaint. What I would do immediately is do a motion to dismiss. I would do a notice of dispute into the file, and you can play it several ways. You can do a motion for enlargement of time to answer, and then wait while you formulate your motion to dismiss and hammer them with a motion to dismiss when you're ready, but get your dispute in there. Or you can do your motion to dismiss before you leave, and then when you get back, you call it up for hearing. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's your choice, whatever it is, but you got to do one or the other. Okay? But if it was me, you're asking for my opinion, you've got it. It'd be a motion to dismiss, period, end of story. Nothing more, nothing. That would be it.
And don't drag it out any more than it has to be drug out with the extension of time BS.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one other quick question. There's a certification of possession of original note, promissory note. This is what they added to. I don't know what this. I guess basically amounts to basically like an affidavit, and they put what is an employee of their law firm, which I thought was a violation of the rules. And she's not verifying the complaint, but she's certifying that she's seen the original promissory note.
That's okay. Why don't you depose her?
What's
that? Doesn't that sound like fun, deposing her?
Yeah, it would be.
You don't need to. Having the original note, there's no link to it. So if I have the note, you still got to show how you got it. It's completely irrelevant.
Right.
Make sense?
Because right below that, line two, she says, you know, repossession of promissory note, data such and such and so on. So a copy of the note with all the allonges, if any, is attached here to and incorporated by reference Exhibit A, and it's all blank in Exhibit A.
Yeah. So maybe they screwed up. Maybe they got them and they didn't put them in, but I would do the motion to dismiss immediately.
Okay.
ASAP.
And then I can just monitor it from the court docket up wherever I'm at, and then if I need to come back down, I'll be probably back down in a couple of weeks.
Oh, no. You have more than that. You have months.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All right, we got to get on to the next guy. So,
okay, thank you, Jesse.
Information to really get your stuff straight, so no reason you shouldn't handle it, pal.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks very much. And if you would, please hit the one key to take yourself out of the queue so that that loosens things up there. Let's go to, the board just jumped there. It's when I got to be real careful what I'm doing here. Let's go to 845. You've got a question for us tonight?
Yes, I do. This is John. I'm the one that's from Michigan with the living in or working here in Florida, and I've got the I finally got served, so I guess that's good news too because I don't wait for that. They actually called it in. Somebody received it for me, so we're going to go ahead and do a motion to dismiss or a motion for a large amount of time and a notice of dispute. My ex-wife has done that. So I'm doing that now. The question I have, because I'm in Florida and I'm working, I'm thinking about the time. Because I'm now they're attempting to foreclose, I'm going to have her sue in New York for the attempt to collect an alleged but non-existent debt, and I'm going to do the same. But I'm wondering if I should do it from where my home is in Michigan or whether I should do it here while I'm working in Florida. I don't know, you know, time-wise how that works. It's 3 to 6 months that I'm here. Is that a good time frame? Because I don't want to get stuck, you know, not being in Florida, or should I do it based on residence?
I don't think you have much of a choice but to do it with the residence. Am I correct there, guys? I'm pretty sure.
Okay. For convenience, I'd love to do it
while
I'm down here.
So.
but
yeah, you needed this violation happened.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, they tried to. I'm sorry. Say that again. Where did the violation happen?
Yeah.
The violation happened. Well, they just served me, and they served me in Michigan. So I guess I file in Michigan then. Sue them for attempt to collect alleged recognized in debt in Michigan then. So where you get served is where the state I would file in, yes?
Repeat that?
Yeah.
So if I'm gonna sue them, right? I wanna file a suit against Chase for the attempt to collect the alleged but non existent debt. Because now they're attempting to foreclose.
Right.
So last time we were on, I think a week or 2 weeks ago, he's like, yeah, sue them in Florida and sue them in New York while they're trying to start a foreclosure action on you in New York. So I was like, oh, that's a good idea. But then, I'm in hotels and that in Florida. I'm not established residence. I mean, I might get an apartment if I'm here 6 months, but they just served me while they served somebody who received for me in Michigan today. So I'm just wondering if is there a precedent that I have to file? If I sue them, do I have to sue from where my residence is, or can I sue from another state? So
you
got to
sue
court.
Wherever it happened.
Sure.
That's Larry just got done saying.
Okay.
So if they offend you in Michigan, that's where you're going to sue them at, period.
Okay. All right, great. Well, listening to the guy that was just on before, I want to look through my paperwork. I haven't seen it yet to find out exact if they have, in fact, made some claims that they hold the note and so on and so forth. And I guess it appears that they don't, then you can just do a motion to dismiss, if I'm correct.
Well, they always, they always do them stupid moves, so no worries there.
Well, I've been rubbing my hands listening to all you guys collecting money, and I'm hoping I can collect something at some point here. I'd like to get my name I'd like to get the direct deposit, too.
Well, I can tell you this. If our members, I will say this live on the show, and I'll say this 100% totally with confidence, that if our members are not collecting money, shame on them.
Right.
Because it ain't shame on the system. It's shame on them.
Yep.
The system works flawlessly. It's a matter of you making it and putting it to work.
Great. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate all your help.
All right, buddy.
All righty. Let's go to, we had one here. Let's go to 702.
Yes, sir. How you doing? My name is...
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and my mortgage company is, I don't know, they're my mother, Aquin. I think they're in Florida somewhere. And I got the RASPA letter off you guys' site, and I sent it to them, and then they sent me back a letter saying that they was going to foreclose on me. Well, before I got with Aquin, I was with Chase, and I had went to a mediation, and they couldn't show me the note or anything. So I'm wondering what give Aquin the right to foreclose, and I'm pretty sure they don't have the note or anything. So I'm trying to figure out, where to go to from here.
You need to go to the site and study up, because those are pretty basic questions that you should already know if you're a member.
Yes, sir.
If you're a member. Else, they're still going to have to show you the chain of title, how they got it, and how they put it together. But, issues. They're going to have some real issues.
Yeah, right. The chain of title, I'm trying to get that because I tried to get the CD with my loan securitized from you guys, and I sent all the information, but when you guys sent it back or something, my email, I don't know what it did to the, it didn't work, and I've been trying to see how I can get you guys to send me another thing showing me whether or not my loan was securitized.
You gotta go back to the site and just send them an email. Let's contact us and say, this is what I did, here's the email dates, and you're done. They'll take care of it for you. Problem
okay.
at all.
All right, thank you, sir.
You need to put some time in there because that's, what happens, what it sounds like to me is that they're screwing with you. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes, sir. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, buddy.
I'm going to study.
Yeah, you got to study. Yeah, you got to study for sure.
All righty. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to 404. 404, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me perfect?
We can hear you. You sound like you're a little distant, but we can hear you.
Okay. My question is kind of simple. Like, I'm kind of new to the private side of things and trying to live in the republic. So my question is basically, how do I discharge or set off my my credit card?
We don't do any of what you just said. I like to talk because I like to hear that. Don't you, Dave?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, we don't mess around with that stuff because it doesn't work. It's simple as that. I hate to hurt your feelings or bust your bubble, but it just doesn't work, man.
Yeah, the administrative processes do not work for one very simple reason. You do not have any enforcement for it. There's nothing that there's nobody that's going to recognize it if you try and take any of it into the courts. They're going to completely ignore it, so it'll be a complete waste of your time. I know it sounds good, and people make it sound good, but the reality is you can't go anywhere, and depending on what you do, you may end up getting yourself behind bars. There are people that are in prison right now as a result of using the administrative processes.
That's right.
So does that apply for the same thing as, like, a setting for value?
Yeah,
that's correct.
So, how are we able to do due process and, like, if a company is using fraud in their contract and we're able to make claims due process against them, we can't do that either?
Well, I don't know exactly what you mean by, you know, making claims and all that. We'd have to have more information, but the bottom line is we don't do anything with those administrative processes. What we do is we help people learn how to interpret the consumer protection statutes like the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, so that you know what the law says and can identify violations of it, and then learn how to use the courts properly to enforce it. But we don't do any administrative procedures at all.
Okay. Well, so the information that y'all provide is on your website, correct?
Absolutely. It sure is.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that so I can learn more. Thanks for your time.
All right. You bet. Thank you very much. All right. Let's go to let's go back here to 702 and see if we've got a question here. Well, no, the board jumped again. Let's go to 863. 863, you've been unmuted. You got a question for us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We sure can.
Yeah, I have a question. One is my wife was sued by a credit card company and an attorney out of Jacksonville, Florida, filed suit, and I responded for my wife, telling them that, actually the 12B6, you know, failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted, and let it go at that. Well, so a hearing date was set, and I attended the hearing date with my son because my wife couldn't attend, and I attempted to speak for my wife.
And they wouldn't let you.
No, they wouldn't let me. And
no,
I thought, gee, Clarence Darrow would get away with it. Why can't I, you know? And also, since ecclesiastically my wife and I are as one, and since the law derives from that, but this didn't make any sense. You know, they just throw it aside. So subsequently then, since I couldn't do anything, they filed for summary judgment. Well, that's where it's at right now, summary judgment. And I'm trying to find, you know, I know there's some ways to get out of that summary judgment. I'm not quite sure, though, how to proceed. I am a member.
Well, then you should be in the section beating credit cards and learning how to do it.
Yeah, beating credit cards and also, you know, getting their money, taking their money section. So, because literally what's going on is, listen, you're trying, and I agree with you 100% that the law is bogus, that we can't help
it
speak for our spouse, because I speak for my spouse. I'd love to speak for my spouse, but I can't a lot. I agree. I've been married 28 years, man, so I'm with you. But
I've been married 50.
God bless you. That's awesome. Ecclesiastically, they could care less. The fact that your wife would rather have you speak for her, and it should be your decision and your freedom of speech and expression and everything else on behalf of your wife and you together, that they don't care either. So they're using all these things against us, which in turn actually, you know, slow us down. But there's many, many ways to get back even with them, and that's not a matter of getting even like, oh, I'm spiteful. It's just getting even meaning, you know, if you're going to sue me, I'm sure you violated several federal laws in attempting to collect a debt, I'm going to sue you back.
And they never even answered the 12B6.
Well, they don't have to. What do you mean? If you're not in federal court, a 12B6 is useless.
Well, what I did was I just simply stated in the reply to the suit, I said, you don't have any evidence. Where's your evidence? Where's your affidavit, you know? Not some lawyer up there acting like he's the witness.
Yeah, see, none of that's going to fly.
Okay.
You know, none of that's going to fly. You have to actually show up, you know, with a legitimate either motion to dismiss because they have no evidence, there was nothing attached, whatever, within the four corners of the complaint, right? Or you have to actually respond to them, and then if you have a counterclaim, a possible counterclaim or a federal claim, then you go after them that way. Everything you have said so far to me is not going to hold up anything, and that goes for anybody.
I realize that. That's why I'm panicking. That's why I called.
No. You never panic. Don't panic, because that's going to get you nowhere. That's wasted, misdirected energy. So you need to just focus into taking their money section and say, okay, print out the frequently violated FDCPA lawsuit section. Print that out through it. And say, okay, what did they violate? Have they called? Have they sent letters? Have they threatened? Have they, you know, whatever it is, look through it. And take your time and do it. Pull your wife's credit report. Do these kind of things, because that's where all the damages are.
That's why I had to say in the hearing that I forbid him to call me, and that's why he didn't contact me and just went ahead and filed the suit, which was not true.
Well, is that lying?
Well, of course. Blatant.
Thank you.
But they do that all the time anyhow. I mean, they're robbers.
They're allowed to in court, funny enough.
Yeah.
But regardless, just think about the what I said. Go print that out. I'm sure everybody on this call is sure that without a doubt, without fail, they have violated several federal and state laws in attempting to collect that debt. Now, the one question I will ask you is the debt they're attempting to collect from an original creditor, or are they a debt collector?
Well, his firm said they were debt collectors when they called. But now it was sold off to someone and it went back to him, I think. This has gone on for a few years.
Okay.
And
you can go after pretty hard and heavy. How much is the debt for, if you don't mind me asking?
$21,000.
Oh, okay, yeah. So they paid probably $1,000 for this thing, if that.
Who are they saying is the plaintiff in the case?
My wife?
No.
Plaintiff.
The plaintiff.
Defendant.
Oh, the
Your
plaintiff.
Your wife is the defendant. Well, you got to know. You can't just think.
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think of the credit card company's name. You know, not American.
Well, they sued in the name of, like, Discover or Chase or somebody?
No.
Is that correct?
No. They sued me
sued your wife?
I sued my wife. I mean, I think it's the same almost. Let's see. Now, I'm trying to...
No, it's not the same
I'm 80
at all.
Years
it's
old.
Completely different.
Confused a little bit once in a while. Let's see. Capital One. That's who it was.
Well, okay. That's... depending on which Capital One entity it is, it might not be the original creditor.
Probably three of them at least, huh?
Yeah. Larry, you just want to give him a quick overview of that since you're so familiar with those so that he understands what to be looking for?
Yeah. I've sued Capital One twice and won both times. I'm about to sue him again. But you need to know if you're being sued by Capital One Bank, Capital One Services, or someone else. And your wife needs to know who the credit card contract is with, which entity of Capital One.
I see. Which entity? Jot that down. Okay. That sounds good. I'm sure
yeah, see,
there's something.
Capital
you know,
One
they doubled it.
Names.
It was only like $900 when it started out, and it's up to like $21,000 now.
Oh, that's
it was only
ridiculous.
Like $9,000. It's at $21,000 now.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
yes,
listen, what state do you live in?
Florida. Good old Polk County.
Oh, geez, you've got an easy lawsuit here against these people, number one. Number two is check the usury. Okay? Check the usury. See what they're charging on the interest, because you weren't on last week's call, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Here's the trick in Florida. And anywhere, it doesn't matter. It works. The usury laws are applicable to these people, and they're going to come in, and if you argue and say, listen, The interest rates right here on the face of the statements are usurious in accordance to Florida law, and you're going to have to listen carefully because you're going to have two situations.
Okay.
They have the original credit card application, which I highly doubt. Okay. They're suing you on what they call account stated. One of the two.
Okay, got that. I understand.
Okay, so if it's account stated, then you're going to go after them and say, listen, we think that it's usurious. And they're going to say, well, here's going to be the response. The contract you signed, because we're a national LA, says that we're going to bring the law. Well, sorry, there is no contract. See?
Well, why didn't sign it? But my wife didn't sign the account stated?
Yeah, you're not listening. They either have a copy of your contract that you signed or they don't. If they don't, they sue on account stated, meaning
that's what I'm saying.
No, that's not what you just said to me.
Okay.
You didn't sign an account stated. Account stated means there's a balance and there's no contract there. They have nothing.
I understand what you're saying. If they say account stated, there's no contract.
There you go. So
yeah.
If that's the case, you're going to say, or your response should be, well, if it's an account stated and the alleged charges took place here in Florida and I'm a resident of the state of Florida, then the usury laws apply to me here in Florida and to you, which would make the whole entire thing void, basically gone. If they say we're in a national account, a national bank, a national association, and we have the
original
right to our state laws into the state of Florida, and we have the contract to prove that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. If you're going to use Delaware, because Larry, they're incorporated in Delaware, are they not?
In all probability, yes.
No, I think Larry knows. Are they not incorporated in Delaware?
Yeah, I'm almost sure they are.
Okay.
Along with the rest of the U.S. and IRS and all that.
Is Larry on the phone, or is he not?
He keeps answering my questions. They're headquartered in Virginia, but I think they are incorporated in Delaware.
Okay. Yeah, because if they're incorporated in Delaware, the Delaware usury laws are even worse than the Florida usury laws. So either way, they lose.
Okay. Sounds great.
Have to figure out. You can't just say it. You can't just blurt out what I just said. You have to sit down and calculate it. You need to go look at the Florida usury laws. Just go to Google and type in Florida usury, and it'll bring it up. And then you start figuring out the interest, and you go, okay, on this statement. Some of my wife's statements were 103% interest because there was a zero balance,
Then they charged a $39 membership fee and a $39 late payment fee because it was late for a day. So they charged me $70 on zero balance.
I see.
You see what I mean?
I see. I understand.
So I can move down pretty easily. So there's a lot of ways. There's nothing to panic about. It's just using your head and putting together all the strategies.
How long before the hammer hits on the summary judgment? Or they
don't respond to it yet tomorrow morning. I don't know. I don't know if you didn't respond, if you know whatever it is, but you got to respond to it.
Yeah. It's been 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, you need to respond to it. I don't know what part of that you didn't get, but you need to respond to it. Yeah, I don't want to disrespect you in any way, but you need to listen when I talk, not repeat the question. Yeah. You listen. And what I'm telling you is it can drop down on you tomorrow. So you need to hurry up and get something in there, like a motion for an enlargement of time to respond to the summary judgment, some BS like that. You know, I don't know. Just
I understand. All right, I'll do that. Motion respond.
Yeah, don't remember. Yeah, remember, those that do nothing get nothing.
I hear that. Those that sometimes do something get in jail.
I'm not going to go on that side of it, but, you know.
Yep.
Just remember, sitting by waiting for something to happen will get you absolutely nowhere. So
all right. Well, I tried to call. I tried to call before, but I suddenly got a kidney stone. I was out of commission for 2 weeks, so.
Oh, better you than me. I'm sorry to say it that way.
Yeah, I know it. Better than me than anybody, I guess. It was a real monster. Worse than court.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
And I appreciate the gentleman's time, and I think you're doing a wonderful job, and I'll jump on this.
Remember the usury laws.
Remember even if it's bad.
Yeah, well, just remember the usury laws.
Motion for more time or motion to...
enlargement of time to answer the summary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you file the motion for extension of time, mention the fact that you had a, you know, illness.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I did. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that because I'm not the one being sued. It's my wife.
Yeah, that's the bigger problem that you got.
Yeah.
It's a bigger problem because who's going to tend to him while he's ill?
Yeah.
You can
put it in there, but that's the bigger problem overall. You know, if anything has to happen in court, your wife has to know what's going on. So,
I could go in with her anyhow. I think I want to study that up a little bit. I think there's some challenges to be made there about them. I know they're rogues, but Jesus, it's a limit to what a rogue can do. Even
Well.
Not really. You'd be
surprised. They've got the guns and they've got the jails. Always remember
that. Point. They do. So where's the justice?
Okay.
Where's the law? Whoever wears a gun, that's it.
Well, there's ways to do it. Get in that website and get to studying on that stuff. That'll help you out.
I will. I thank you, gentlemen. You have a pleasant day.
You too,
all right. Buddy. Thank you.
Bye now.
All right. Let's go to 816. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a new member. I just signed up last week. Been listening to you guys for quite some time. Highly impressed with everything you're doing. I did get in. I have a couple questions. I'm going to try and make it really quick. Like I said, am new to the site. Just barely got in and started studying everything. I have several notes on properties that I'm trying to find flaws in, maybe negotiate these down or even get rid of them if they've got their fatal flaws. One of the things I have here is I have a deed of release from MERS, however you want to pronounce it, and it says, whereas the indebtedness secured by the deed of trust described below has been fully paid and satisfied, an undersigned mortgage electronic registration system, Inc., grantor, owner, and holder of the debt, does hereby release and recover the deed of trust, okay? And
well,
it means me,
we know
grantee.
That that's the law. Okay, listen. Okay, stop reading. We know this. Just say you have a satisfaction of mortgage from MERS, and that we know exactly what you're talking about. At the end of the day, you've just recited a complete fraud.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, also, I have five different examples from things to you guys that I pulled off the website for RoboSigner on the vice president that actually signed this paper.
Well, let me ask you a quick question here before you go any further. Do you understand where the fraud was and what you were saying about MERS?
They can't give me anything they don't own.
That's right.
Exactly. They never have an ownership interest in it.
Right.
Okay.
So,
I just wanted to make sure you understood that.
Right. So what would be my course of action to proceed on this?
Well, you got a satisfaction of mortgage, which I don't understand that, but you got one,
this
right?
This is actually – I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt. That we had the delay in time on the phone, the cell phone.
Understood.
Actually, this is during a refinance.
Listen, I of course, I can't give you legal advice, but
– Sure.
Did that ever happen?
The refi? No, but they didn't. They couldn't have. No, there was never. There was
okay,
never.
Does that mean you have a bad title?
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean?
That means I need to file. But I'm trying. That's where my question is.
Well, here's what I suggest you do. You do as much studying as you possibly can, and then you go hire yourself a good property attorney. And you say, listen, I bought a house with a bad title, and I need to get my money back.
Right, from the refi. Okay.
Right.
Or
I want to negotiate it down.
Right, and that's where I'm at. So here's the specific question. What part specifically, since I'm not in default, I'm not behind on the note or anything else, what part of the website should I specifically be studying to validate what I have here and proceed?
MERS, the MERS section. There's a whole MERS section.
Just the MERS section.
Well, not just the MERS section, all the foreclosure stuff and the foreclosure bash webinar, and there's all kinds of stuff there that you need to look at. But that for sure is part of what you need to study, because you have to understand, you need to pick up the MERS handbook that's on our site and study up on it.
Okay, so I'm going to get the handbook. I actually have downloaded it. I just haven't gotten through it yet.
Yeah, and start studying and then start looking at some of the transcripts of some of the depositions of these employees or alleged employees of MERS, and start seeing where it's going with it. Because, this is going to become an epidemic in the United States.
Sure.
Okay. No, I'm not kidding you. An absolute epidemic.
Oh, I agree. That's why I'm giving my donation to your efforts.
Yeah, you're new, so you haven't heard me say it, but I tell people, you know, sometimes we all want to save the home, and I said, listen, you don't understand. The best thing that can absolutely happen to you is the house gets sold out from under you.
Right.
And then it gets
sold
out.
Yeah, these are actually rental properties.
Yeah, because then when you come back with the damages, you don't want the house because the house is upside down. You don't want that liability. What you want is a big chunk of money so you can go buy a real deal.
Right. Well,
down market, right?
Right.
I'm in the same boat. I have six. I just won two at trial in the last month. I've won two properties in trial.
Yeah,
so
I heard that. Congratulations.
You know, yeah, and at the end of the day, well, I still got a little battle. It's not like, you know, it's just going to be, like I tell everybody, no such thing as a free and clear house. It just doesn't exist. You need a little bit of work that goes with it. So, you know, long story short, we're in good shape, a lot better than most people, let's put it that way. But when they sell it out from under you, like if I'd have lost that trial at any one of those houses, I was laughing my head off because I'm thinking, well, if they sell it out from under me, this is just going to put them in a hell of a liability because they're going to sell the property and they're going to sell it to an investor. And then I'm going to come back and say, because I was either way, you're going to win the appeal. At the end of the day, I was just going to say, well, how are we going to settle this now? Because I need a big chunk of money.
Right.
Huge
chunk. Real quick story for you, 15 seconds. My mom passed away about a year and a half ago, never acknowledged the debt on the property. A year went past on the ability to create the legal fiction of the estate of, and they never did answer on any of my qualified written requests. So after the course of a year, Missouri Revised Statute says that they are not able to create the estate. So therefore, I went and filed against them. And come March 3rd, we're going to go to the pretrial and see if we can't get the alleged creditor off of the property.
Yeah, Missouri is very crooked. I have a friend who's in jail in Missouri because of the judge there. I mean, he did everything right, and the judge is still slammed on him. So don't get your hopes too high. Missouri's about as crooked as they come. So.
Right. Well, I actually hired an
just
attorney.
I don't want to offend anybody, but that's the truth. You know?
Right. Missouri's I actually hired an attorney. He actually looked through all my paperwork and said, is all this true? And I said, yes. And after I talked to five different attorneys trying to get them to listen to me that they're debt collectors and that they can't collect the debt, that they can't validate and verify, and that the time of the limit of statute has passed. And then finally I got one attorney, he's like, this is huge. He goes, this is great. I go, yeah, I know. I just got to get someone to listen to me because they're getting ready to steal my property. So
and that's good. When you get an attorney like that, and what you do is you sit quiet. I always tell the members, even though we have members that are attorneys, I work with a lot of attorneys, Larry works with attorneys, you keep it quiet. The website, to me, is my gold mine. Most of the attorneys I work with don't even know that we have this website. They just wonder how the hell these guys know so much information. And that's what you do is you coach them along to get them to go into your direction. Because remember, when you first start working with an attorney, and this goes for everybody, you can start molding them. Okay.
Right.
And getting them to go your direction, which is what you want.
Right.
You see? So,
well, I'm going to get off here and let somebody else get a chance. I know everyone's chomping at the bit to get to you guys. So I look forward to long and prosperous and financially beneficial relationship with you guys. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Money on it. That about it.
All right, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, buddy.
All righty. Let's go to, come on board, work here like you're supposed to. Let's go to 727. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Good evening.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
We got two people on here. Are you both on the same line?
I'm 727-534.
Yeah. That's who I unmuted.
Okay, that's me. Hi, guys. Hi. I had a question. I had sent the validation letter to Aquin, the famous Aquin, and they have started calling my home. So are they – obviously the letters we send say do not call my home. They say to communicate with letter response only. But in the letter that they sent to me, they say they might have to call me to get information, which I find laughable. Because if they're all powerful and have all the information, why do they want to talk to me? So does the verbiage in the letter they send me allow them to call me? Does that, like, supersede what we write in the letter from the website? And I think it's a violation. I'm just calling to get you guys' direction because I'm new to the site and I'm just learning how to do this. So these are my steps. So I'm following them, and I just wanted to call and see if I'm right.
Let's just think about common sense here. Mm-hmm. The FDCPA says, right, if they're a debt collector, which I don't know. See, first you have to deduce whether they're a debt collector or not. Are they the original creditor?
No, they are not. They're debt collectors.
So then the FDCPA would apply. The FDCPA says specifically, if the debtor says do not call, what does that mean?
It means they shouldn't call me.
End of story.
Exactly. Right.
Well,
okay.
I might need or I could call or I would. No, don't call me. It's like a bad boyfriend, you know. When you say don't call me, don't call me. Simple as that, or girlfriend, whatever. So there's no excuse.
Okay. Because that's.
I tell you don't call, I drop the hammer on you the first call.
Okay. That's what I am assuming is correct. I don't want to assume anything. I want to get it right from you guys. Because in the letter it says, you know, we're going to respond within 20 days. And this is funny because I had sent another validation notice before I found your website and became a member. And that particular notice I sent them didn't cite the laws. And I had called a while back, and Jesse, you weren't on the call, and I had told the gentleman that they told me that they had all the documents that I wanted, but I would have to pay them for the documents. So
I knew that now.
I never – I'm sorry?
They can actually do that, believe it or not. But you're still in.
Here's the problem. Again, I've said this 1,000 times. I know you're a new
Yeah, writer. Jesse, we lost your audio. It's like you're across the room.
No, I'm right here sitting next to my phone.
Yeah.
Can you hear me or no?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine now, but you went way away there for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
the problem that most people don't realize, and I've said it 1,000 times, I've said it one time, is a QWR is not for a request of documents. A QWR is to dispute a specific charge or balance issues with your escrow accounts or insurance billing or your monthly mm-hmm. statement or an adjustment in the interest rates. That is what a QWR is for. It's not for anything else. When you throw in, hey, can I see this or can I get that or can I get the other, it's up and above a QWR. What happens in most cases is most of these servicers will send you documents that you can already go get at public record. So that the QWR is nothing because you didn't really do it properly. So they just send this kind of to say, okay, we kind of fulfilled it. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, you have to
dispute a charge of some sort. I don't care if it's 20 cents. Mm-hmm. Then you can ask for whatever else, and then they either come back and answer and respond to that and give you an accounting on that, or they ignore you, and that's when you can hammer them.
Right. Well, I didn't send a QWR as of yet. I'm still working on getting the facts written into that. I sent them the debt validation and dispute letter.
Yeah, that's different. That's good.
Yeah, that's what I sent them first. And what I was trying to explain is previously, before finding the site, I sent them another one, but that particular letter did not cite the laws that they were violating. So in response to that notice, they sent me a letter that said, we got your inquiry, we got your, and we have all the documents you requested, but there's a fee, and if you want to pay the fee, we'll send you all the documents. And I thought that was a little hokey, and I didn't know if that was correct. And the
let me ask you a question there on that. Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff did you request?
It was proof of validation of the debt, and it wasn't as specific as your letter. So it was a little less
did you just state that you were requesting validation of the letter, or did you give a list of things that you wanted, is what I'm getting at?
Yeah, no, it was pretty in specific. It didn't have a list of things like yours is pretty specific. It was kind of like when that school of thought of, the notarial process kind of stuff that I had gotten previously.
Administrative process stuff. That's where you ran into your problem.
Right, so that is when they sent me that silly notice that I need. They had everything I asked for, because I guess it probably did say copy of the note and other document specific requests, and they told me they had all that, but I needed to pay them to get them, and I didn't think that was correct. And you guys, the one gentleman told me, yeah, you should write back to them and ask them how much it would cost, because obviously I think you were trying to tell me that that's a violation. And that they shouldn't be asking me to pay for documents that I should have the ability to have upon request. Is that correct?
Well, here again, it depends on exactly what all you're asking for. You can demand or request validation of a debt, you can just simply say, like a two-sentence letter, I dispute this debt. I'm requesting that you validate this debt that you are attempting to collect. Yeah, thank you. Yours truly, Susie Jane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, literally, that's it. You don't tell them, well, I want the contract, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I want this. You just tell them you dispute it, you request validation. When you go past that, that's where you run into those problems with them telling you, well, hey, you want all the stuff, you pay for it.
Okay.
Because they really don't have to provide it.
That's right.
So, well, now
they can charge for it, by the way, just so you know.
I'm sorry, they can?
Yeah, they absolutely can.
Okay. Okay, because now I got a second letter after I sent the letter from the website out, and of course it's way past the 30 days, the response time. But in this letter they have, it's very short and sweet. It says they've received my correspondence requesting research to be performed on the above reference loan, and it said they're going to do it within 20 days of receipt of my letter, which is ridiculous because they're way past that. Then on the second little column, this is where my question generated from. It said, Ocwen may need to contact you for further information in order to process your request. So, therefore, that was my conundrum there about, okay, they put this in the letter. Does that give them the right to supersede my request not to call me and gives them the, you know, legal right, because they're going to say, oh, well, she wants to sue us, but we sent her a letter saying we might have to contact her to complete her request.
Yeah, no, it's a violation of the law. It'd be like you telling a police officer, you know, I'm going to run down the street and I might have to do 75. I don't care if it's 35. I just got to do 75. What's he going to tell you?
Right. Okay.
You know,
well,
I mean,
that's
don't over stuff, man. Just like you said, you have to hear it from us. Whatever's in that website has already been said by us. So you don't need to hear it from anybody. If it's there, it's because we've already hit in the head with it or we've hit somebody in the head with it.
I know, you know, I just sometimes I hear things and some, and it's funny because some people are like, well, I told you this, but then they said, don't you trust me? And I'm like, well, you did say something else, and the one thing you said counteracted the other thing or contradicted to me. So sometimes I just need to get it in my head right, and that's why I'm asking you, because I need to get it in my head right. But I did listen to the, you know, I just need to know, because like I said, sometimes I hear things two-sided, and I want to make sure I'm on the right side, because now what I did is they've called me three times since then. So I'm going to sit here and violations, right? Now I hear sometimes on the call you say, well, how much money do you want to make? So in other words, you're saying, how long do you want to put up with the phone calls? That's what I hear in my head. So,
but wait a second. You said they called your home. Did they call you on your home phone or your cell phone?
They call me on my home phone, and in the letter it specifically says, do not call my home.
Yeah,
okay. So
wait, you're hold on, please. Just listen for a moment.
All right. Okay.
You're trying to make too big a deal out of this. The home phone is a violation of the FDCPA. If you know what the FDCPA says, you can get up to $1,000 per action that you have against them. So if you sue them under the FDCPA for the call to your home, that you're only entitled to $1,000 there.
Oh, okay. So
the cell phone is a whole different situation.
Yeah, you know, no one ever calls my cell phone. I feel totally like ripped off.
Yeah, well, okay. But I just want you to—I just want you to understand. If you sit and wait for 48 phone calls to your home phone line by them, it's still only going to amount to $1,000 under the FDCPA. So, can you have your federal lawsuit done by tomorrow?
Probably yes.
Well, I'm being a little facetious, but the message is you have a violation. Get your lawsuit going. What I would do if I were sitting in your shoes.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yep. I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much, and I will be studying on the website and listening to the webinar tomorrow. I can't wait for that. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. You bet.
Bye bye.
Okay, and again, a reminder for everybody, when after you've been in, please hit 1 on your keypad to take you out of the queue. 609, we are unmuting you. Go ahead. Hello, area code 609. You've been unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I got a couple things I'd like to go over tonight. First thing, the foreclosure defense is on the the archives, the webinar archives on saving your homes on 10/12/11. Jesse, you saying that there was a video? There's videos of a judge on there that I went on there today earlier to look, and it's not on there.
I don't think we'd have videos of a judge on our website. Why would I have that?
Well, you said that in the new, you know, the news of the day.
Might be in the news. Yeah, you got to go find it in the news somewhere.
Yeah, well, I did. I looked up the old news, and it's not on there. But that's no big deal. I just wanted to let you know that it was not on there. The couple questions that I have is if we were living in the home in 2009 and it didn't become a rental property until 2010, and since the assignment was filed in 2012,
okay,
does the Does the Helping Families Save Their Homes Act still apply to that, even though, you know, because we were still in the House at that time?
Yeah, but you weren't in the House when they filed the case, correctly?
That is correct. Yes.
Wouldn't apply.
So it wouldn't apply, okay.
No.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
There's several other factors that would apply depending on your state, depending if it's securitized or not securitized, what the PSA says, the date of the filing of the case versus the date of that assignment. You know, so there's a lot of other stuff. You got to analyze it all.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to do here. The assignment was recorded after default took place. So
that's the problem. That's a big problem.
That's a big problem?
Of course. You can't bring a cause of action hoping to get a cause of action, and that's exactly what they just did.
Okay, I thought you were saying it was a big problem for me.
No, for them, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that's my question. Is the non-enforcement and loss of priority still hold if they did it after the fact?
Well, there's no – I don't know where you're getting the loss of priority and enforcement. How long did it sit around before they did anything?
Well, the last check that they – before they started mailing their checks back was in July of 2011. They didn't put the assignment in. They didn't record it until February 14th of 2012, so like 7 months later.
Yeah, that doesn't apply. The loss of priority doesn't apply. No, why would they lose priority?
Because they did it after the fact.
It doesn't matter. Loss of priority would affect it if I came in and I filed an assignment before they did. Not them. Somebody else. They haven't lost anything, is the point.
So even though they filed the assignment after the fact, that doesn't matter?
That helps you in your case. That's all that does.
That
helps your case. So no worries.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying. The other thing is that all the rest of the servers that were involved prior to Chase, they didn't file an assignment either. How does that play out in the whole scenario?
There's got to be a chain of assignments.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. And what's that?
I said that has to happen no matter what.
Okay, all right. All right, well, I just wanted to make sure that I was right in my thinking. And the good news is that I'm finally starting to get this. It's really starting, you know, all the stuff that you guys have been saying, it's starting to click, so... I'm ready to. It'll be soon. I promise you, it'll be soon that I file my lawsuit.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And there's a lot of stuff too that I think that I think I'll have some money. But in that same webinar, and this will be the last thing or the last question. In that webinar, you said that you said that you can make money prior to foreclosure and you can make money after the foreclosure. And you just hit it on it a couple calls. And I'm trying to look at it on the business part of it because I have no sentimental attachments to that house at all. I could care less. I'm getting rental income off of it. So I'm thinking that if I let them take the daggone thing, I would get more money out of it now than if I was living in it because now it's rental, and if I, you know, if you look 10 years out or 20 years out, it'd be I would be hurt more if I lost it in foreclosure. Am I
right.
taking on the right track?
Absolutely.
So then why would I mess around with this and just go ahead and let them take it or whatever and just mess around with my credit card stuff that I got and make money? That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, am I making sense?
No. Not at all.
No.
You have to argue it.
Okay.
You have to argue it.
Okay,
yeah.
And then if they take it, come back and do something.
Yeah, you can do that, but before and after foreclosure would be no different than the gal who was just on the phone and sent him a letter saying don't call and they want to persist on calling while she's in foreclosure. That's still an FDCPA violation.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, like, what I'm saying is I just sent the lawyer firm that signed the Liz Pendens a debt validation letter, and today I'm thinking, well, maybe that was the wrong move. Maybe just hit him for all the money that you can get out of them, and let them continue on in the state and take the house, and then after they take the house, slap the shit out of them and get as much money as I possibly can get out of them because
yeah,
like
well
I
you
said,
get the meanwhile, so why wait?
Okay, all right. You answered my question. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All righty. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right.
All right. And let's go to 714. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you real well. Thanks.
Okay, good. I wanted to ask a question about, you know how you, when you do a settlement agreement and you sign a W-9 form, is there a way that at the end of the year and the IRS ask you to report this? I mean, is this considered like a standard income or?
No. No. You can do the form. We're not IRS guys by no stretch of the imagination. What I can tell you to go do is go over to CTC or go to LostHorizons.com and go get yourself cracking the code. I just read it. And it'll show you there exactly how to rebut that and how to send back corrected 1099.
Okay, but would you ever sign the W-9 form on a settlement agreement, or do you just reject
yeah,
it right from the start?
It's irrelevant. It's not income. It's non-taxable event. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so it's awarded money considered? It's not considered taxable income?
Oh, damages.
It's damages.
Damages. Okay.
Violation of your civil rights. Damages.
All right, and also,
damages
when
are
you're
not
in
income.
A bankruptcy court,
yeah.
Is that considered to be put on toll as far as, like, you know, a statute of limitations as far as paying a debt?
Oh, what?
When you're in bankruptcy court, you know, and say, like, you're going to be foreclosed upon and you did a skeletal Chapter 13 and then, you know, how it eliminates the foreclosure process, the moment you get out of bankruptcy, does that foreclosure process happen like the next day, like how you're supposed to be sold upon?
No, it can take months, take a year, you know. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it
depends
on how they decide to move forward. There's no automatic.
But the statute of limitations, though, you know what I'm talking about, how it has 4 years.
Yeah, well, it depends on where you live, number one.
Okay.
For that. And if it's in bankruptcy, I don't think that the statute would protect you. I don't know if it, or protect them. So I don't know. That's a good question.
You don't know if you're put on toll or that's what they call it. Like it doesn't count when you're in bankruptcy and
yeah,
once you get out, it starts over.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That'd be interesting. Very interesting.
Okay,
yeah,
that's my question. I'll push one.
All righty. Thank you very much.
That's a very interesting question, Dave. Huh.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have to say I hadn't thought of that. Let's see here. Let's go to 214. Hello, 214.
Hey, guys. It's me, Keisha.
Hi, Keisha. I knew that had to be somebody local.
Yes, it's me. Oh, trying to deal with this code. I don't know what to do. But hanging in there, I just have a quick question. Dave, you know that I have a pretrial that's set for March 5th that we talked about. But I just received something in the mail saying that they wanted to do a telephone, like the, you know, the other
telephonic party.
Yeah,
telephonic conference.
Right, the defendants that I sued, they wanted to do the pretrial via telephone. So I know we were talking about the, you know, the papers and everything that I was going to take, and you told me to make copies just so that whatever I presented to the court with my TCPA, FDCPA case, that I can give it to the other side. So I was just wondering, how can I continue to do that since they're not going to be present?
Well, you obviously can't. I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to look at the obvious there. If it's going to be a telephonic conference, they aren't going to have it unless you send it to them prior to that.
Okay, but I can do that just as long as I send it to them.
Well, if you wanted to, you could send it to them, and then when you're having the conference, if you refer to something during the conference, you can tell the court that you have provided the other party, the defendant, with that information already. They do have a copy of that.
Okay, I'll do that. I was just looking at what would be the best, you know, situation, obviously, how I could handle that since they're going to, you know, they were granted to appear by telephone where I could still present that evidence.
Yeah, the pretrial, there isn't going to be much to it. It's like, oh, okay, you're here. Well, we're going to move forward. We'll set the date for, you know, June of next year or whenever it comes up, and that's going to be it. You're not going to be getting into a bunch of evidence or anything in a pretrial conference. So don't think you're going to be doing that.
Okay. Well, that was my only question, so.
Okay, well, we had a simple answer, didn't we?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. Stay warm. Look for the 70s by the weekend.
I know, we'll have pneumonia by then.
No, it's sun tomorrow and then getting nice and warm. We're going to be 70 by the weekend, so. You take
all
care
right,
of yourself.
You guys take care, thanks.
All right, she's gal right down here by us. Okay, 973. Wait a minute. Yeah, 973. We're going to try and get you unmuted here. There we go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Lisa here from New Jersey. I called last week thinking that I have a good news because when I filed my motion for enlargement of time, I didn't have any answer. Well, right, the next day after we were talking, I got an answer. The court sent me back the motion for enlargement because they say it wasn't incomplete. It was missing information as well as some form. So, and they sent me a package, a complete package of motion so the way I can know, I will know how to send it to them. And also, I have to file a motion for vacay because I'm already on default. When I went to the courthouse to file the motion for enlargement, and I asked the clerk in the office, so she just stamped the form, and I said, okay, so I got to file how much it is. He said, no, you don't need to do nothing else. So, and here I am with the package that the court sent me back. He said, it's not filed, and it's not filed. So now I have to send them a list of documents. I got to send the notice of motion for vacant default, a certificate services, a certificate in support of motion of vacant default, a civil action order vacant default, and answer the complaint. Now I'm so concerned. I'm so worried now because I say, you, how can I be doing all this thing? What should I be answering in the complaint? Because they sent me a summary of judgment for the death on Capital One. And now I'm so worried.
Yeah, that Capital One's a winner, aren't they? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you have to do, you got to follow the rules, as we always say. Learn your local rules. Obviously, something there was missing.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You didn't comply with the way the court warned it. I don't know about vacating a motion to vacate.
Yeah, Jesse, it's like you're turned away from the microphone.
No.
Scratch my ear, my Bluetooth goes off. Sorry. damn thing. But anyway, what I said, what I would, of course, again, not being able to see your specific case and all the packet and everything else that goes with it, if it was me, I would say, I would do a motion based on the fact that I did file something and there was something in there. Whether it was wrong or right, you ask for an extension. Generally, in 99.9% of the cases, you get it. And that's a fact. So there's no reason the clerk should have defaulted you to begin with because you had something in the file. I'm assuming you did it in timely fashion.
Right, I did it.
So that would be my direction is, hey, I had something in here. Right or wrong, I had something in here. I didn't ignore it. So usually a default occurs when you ignore it.
Well, the main thing is if they sent you a packet with instructions, follow those instructions because that's what they're telling you you need to do.
Yeah,
you can't argue with them because you'll lose.
Right. And also, with all those motions, those documents and forms that they sent me, I also got to answer the complaint on top of that. So should I send it again, the notice of dispute with all this form, the new form that that they sent me, that the court sent me?
So the notice of dispute that you put into the court file, they say is no good either?
Yeah, the whole package they sent me back. The notice of dispute, the debt validation letter, and the motion for enlargement of time. And the certificate.
What's catching on, though? Boy, that really gets me, man.
Well, but we don't know exactly what format she used, whether she used the proper format to file it either, had the styling correct or anything like that.
Well,
yeah.
It looked to me like it was perfect. It was good. I don't.
Well,
and I would take it to the clerk and question her and say, what the hell's going on here?
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely I would. But now, because they already, I am in default, I'm supposed to be answered on January 21st. Well, I did it on the 15th. I get plenty of time, but they send back all the documents. Now I have to file a motion for vacating the default.
Right.
So when I file those motions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 documents and the answer, my question is, should I also put in those documents the notice?
Of course,
of
yes. You got to refile everything. So that's not even a question. You have to refile everything.
Okay.
I would do that again, absolutely.
And yeah, I will add it, all those documents plus all the forms that they sent me.
Right.
So I don't have to worry, right? I was so bored. So say, okay,
what are you worried about? Nothing. Don't waste energy worrying over things. Never.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listening, it's a waste of time if you worry. You can't have the emotion in there. You just got to handle your business.
Yeah. Worry only does bad things. It does nothing beneficial whatsoever.
Yeah. When I got a complaint from Capital One, which I know it was in Capital One, was the lawyer who would try to collect the debt from the beginning, they didn't send me, they put up an exhibit that they sent me like in a statement, not even a copy of the contract that I have with them and the balance that I had that I owe to them. That's all that they sent me. And I said, well, now that I was listening to the other fellows prior to my phone call right now, I said, well, wait a minute. They never sent me anything. So maybe I should start requesting them, which I think we are doing it with the debt validation letter that I sent it to them. So I just don't know. It's I just pushing in there, so
I don't fully understand what you just said there, but the main thing that you need to do right now to keep yourself out of trouble is get that paperwork done and get it refiled with the court properly. That's the very first thing you need to do because they're not going to let you wait and wait and wait on that. If you don't get that done and get it back to the court, you're probably going to have a much bigger problem called a judgment against you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I will file it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, get your stuff done. And I would suggest that you double-check it with the clerk and see if she's got any questions. If you've got any questions, about whether you have it done properly or not, because they can help you with a procedure, but they can't answer any legal questions for you.
Right.
I know. I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will proceed and I will be doing that. Thank you so much.
Yep. All right. You're welcome. Okay. Let's go to 773. You have been unmuted. Go ahead. Hello, 773. We're not hearing you. Maybe your handset's muted.
Hello?
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Talk to us. Yeah, we can hear you. Talk to us, please.
I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't know I was in a queue. I didn't have a question. I'm just listening. I apologize.
All righty. Okay, let's go to 919.
Hi,
you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in the process of doing initial disclosures, and I was prepping my interrogatories, requests for productions, and admissions. And I noticed on the site that you guys, on the interrogatories, you reference Exhibit A, in reference to the equipment and the predicted dialer. And I was just wondering what you were referencing with that. What was your Exhibit A? Because I didn't see any of that on the site.
I don't really understand exactly what it is you're asking about. I'm confused. Jesse?
Well, on the
I don't understand. I'm with you. I'm listening. So go ahead.
Okay. All right.
On the TCPA takedown, you guys have on the webinar, you have an example PDF for interrogatories. And on one of the questions, it states, please describe or tell us who the manufacturer of the predicted dialer equipment is in Exhibit
right.
A. And I was just wondering what you were referencing in Exhibit A, but I also have another question besides that.
Repeat that question. Man, I really don't understand what your question is. You're asking for us to look at something, and there's no documents in front of us.
Yeah, he's saying,
mainly,
go ahead, please.
Mainly, I've drawn up my interrogatories, and I just want to, I'm catering it to my case, and, because it's TCPA related in my case, I was just wondering, should I have that in there, if there was something I could reference? And also, for the initial disclosure, do I include the exhibits when I send that to them? Or do I wait for the discovery to give them my evidence?
No, the whole idea of initial disclosures is to give them information that you have so that they don't have to go through all of discovery to get information that you specifically have that's related to it.
Yeah, I'm still wondering about his question.
Yeah, it's just something that he heard, and it's relating to Exhibit A, but I don't know. The answer to
No. He said.
Yeah, because that's why I asked, because on the site it doesn't show an Exhibit A in reference to those documents. So I was just wondering what you could have possibly been referencing when you said, tell us what the manufacturer of the predictor dialer equipment, automated equipment that you're using to dial out. Because you have 25 interrogatories on there, and that's like one of them. And I was just wondering if it was something that could be catered to my case or not, because there wasn't anything else to reference that on the site with it.
I guess I'm trying to figure out what you mean by catered to your taste. Anytime you do discovery, you should have very specific ideas.
Yeah, he said case, Dave, not taste.
Oh, case, okay. That's what was confusing me. It's like,
yeah,
what?
If that's what you thought.
Yeah.
No, I was saying case, because it's a TCPA, SDCPA related case.
Yeah.
And because they're calling me, I was wondering if I could use that in reference to that interrogatory.
Let me ask you a quick question. Have you been through John's webinar series on discovery?
Yes, I have reviewed it.
Okay. Well, actually, that should give you about as good an overview and explanations, because he goes more into the specific depth of exactly why and how you do the discovery even than Jesse did in the TCPA takedown. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I'm pretty solid on the rest of it. I was just curious about that one part in there. I mean, everything else I pretty much had my head wrapped around. I was just curious about that.
I'm looking at what he's talking about in interrogatory number 12 on what's posted on the website from the TCPA takedown. It says, please provide the manufacturer or program name of the auto dialer or predictive dialer referenced in Exhibit A. And I guess that must be Exhibit A of the complaint. I'm not sure.
Probably. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and then interrogatory number 24 says, please provide a detailed explanation of all the codes referenced in the attached Exhibit A. So it could have been something that came up from a previous set of interrogatories, too.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly what it is.
Right, and that's why I was just wondering if there was something else in reference to that. That was my only question.
No.
I can tell you, I was looking at a party that I was looking at for a TCPA case, and I researched them on the internet, and I found a website called SlideShare, which, you know, is where people post their PDF, post their PowerPoint slideshows, and this debt collector had a marketing piece about them, and it showed pictures of their offices and all the rest, and talked about specifically what equipment, including the brand and type of dialers and everything they used. So you can find evidence any place, and you could use that then to get them to, you know, admit that this is a, you know, their marketing piece, and admit they use that equipment, you know, and then you've got an exhibit, but you got to ferret around to find exhibits.
Okay. All right, yeah, that was mainly it, and then also filing the evidence with the initial disclosure. Okay. All right, thanks for your time, guys. I appreciate the answer.
All right, real good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, let's go to 323. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
How are we doing, guys? This is Justin calling.
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Two quick questions for you. When you send in a notice of intent to sue, do you guys recommend including a draft of the complaint with that? Is that something you should definitely do? Or
well,
that's something I do. Not everybody does it, but I do it.
Yeah, some people do it, some people don't. Just as a contrast to what Jesse does, I send a notice of intent to sue first, give them a chance to respond. If they don't, then I send a notice of pending lawsuit, and I send a lawsuit with that. That way I can always say I tried twice before I sued to mitigate things. But
okay.
You can do it either way.
Okay. My second question is, if they've violated the FCR, EPA, FDCPA, say it's one company that's made all those violations, would you include all of those in one complaint or do them separately? Or what?
No, you have to. You can't sit out and assume seven different times over the same violation, because it all occurred. But if they called you on the cell phone, FDCPA, possibly
right.
FDCPA, it could be whatever, you know what I mean? So you got to bring down the hammer on them for everything.
Okay. I didn't know if there was some advantage to separating them or whatever, in case something got dismissed or some kind of technicality or whatever.
No. Let's say I want to make
all
sure.
Into one.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on, David. Let's get this clear, because are they separate and distinct violations that took place at different times and places, or is it the same call has three different violations?
Excuse me. That's actually a good question.
I would have to probably do a little more investigation. I think it's probably both. Does that make
sense?
Well,
I mean, if somebody called you on your cell phone and they used an automated dialer or left an automated message, okay, then you got a TCPA violation, right?
Right.
Okay. Yep. Do you have an FDCPA violation on that call because they maybe didn't identify themselves as debt collectors or something when they called?
Well, yes, according to what you just said, yes.
Okay. Well, see, I sense that you need to study your statutes a little bit more, you know, be a little more confident in exactly what is a violation under FDCPA. And what Jesse was getting at is, you know, if you've got a TCPA violation, but if, because of something they did in that same call, they violated the FDCPA, yes, you're going to want to combine that in the same lawsuits or in the same lawsuit.
Got it. Yep. Makes 100% sense. And real quick, Jesse, regarding the round table, is this, because I do not have a mortgage, I don't have a foreclosure issue, are you going to be getting into the debt collection aspect of it?
Of course. What we're going to do is go in depth. And, you know, I've had like three people that cracks me up, and I haven't even talked to Dave or Larry or anybody about it, but actually three members quit and say, oh, well, now they're going to learn more than we are. Well, hell, man, really? Like, you know, this is set for advanced members that really want to get into the nitty-gritty.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of discussion. I don't care if you have perfect credit, if you owe nothing. I guarantee you we can pull your credit report and find 150 violations on the thing. You see?
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to go into all the nitty-gritty, and the difference is you have an email directly to me that I can go and it's not – so it's not just a forum. It's actually kind of like one-on-one, and we have our sessions, and we can go in depth with your question. And for some reason, there's still members out there that think, well, I should be able to get that too for $49. But, oh, really? Okay, good. Keep dreaming. You know, that's enough. You got people don't realize how many moderators are on this phone call, how many hours we all put into the forums, and hours we put into preparing webinars and doing the webinars and these calls, and Dave's call Monday, and Terry's calling, John's always there, Larry's. We'll put a lot of damn hours into here. So,
well, there's,
you know,
there's
the day.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I totally agree with you. I was just saying I've been a member for a little while, and I'm on your website, you know, more than I talk to my girlfriend lately, and there's so much information on there. Like you said, it's easy to get overwhelmed. I'm literally trying to just get my brain focused on step one, step two, step three. So,
I'm going to give you the first lesson. My site will make you money. Your girlfriend will cost you money. So you're spending the time in the very right place, okay?
Yeah, so, there you go.
That's not legal advice. That's just life advice.
Duly noted. All right. All right, guys.
So,
time.
People want a little bit more, you know, connection, and they want to be able to sit and talk more candid, and it's okay to send me an email with your credit report on it because now we can discuss this, all of us, and say, okay, here's what I see. You know what I mean? It's not on a form. It's not for members to see. It's not, you know, it's something that's just more candid. It's more. And funny enough, guys, today I get an email from, I don't know if you guys know who Frank Kerr is, but I get an email. He's a marketing guru. He's doing a three-day webinar for $2,500. I can do the same, guys. I can do three-day webinars and charge you guys $2,500 a whack, you know. And if you don't see the value in paying $1,000 to be able to go out and make literally – how much? I don't know. How much has Paul made? Like 130 grand in 2 years? Then, you know, you shouldn't be long to begin with. You really have no brains to begin with. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's just a fact. You're looking a gift horse in the mouth, and you're not taking advantage of it. And I don't think there's a single person that's a moderator on this phone that has not made into the double or the six figures or close to the six-figure mark off of the website just following the process. It's not that hard. It's just you got to do it. You have to do it. You can't be a whiny baby about it. So, you know, it's got to get done. So that's all I'm going to say, Dave. I'm glad you brought that up. But, yes, we're going to go into a lot more detail than what we do on our normal calls, obviously. you know.
Well,
there's, only so much
there's not only going to be more detail, but there's going to be a lot more short-term accessibility to answers, not, you know, put something on the form and wait for a couple of days and get answers and stuff like that. It'll be much more detailed and it'll be quicker for the people that are in the roundtable.
It's more candid. I can't explain it. That's a good word, candid, right? I can have a personal discussion with you and Dave, and there's 10 of us or 12 of us or 30 of us versus 500, you know? And I don't have to worry about 50 people wanting to get in and ask a call before 10 o'clock. We don't have these concerns. You follow me?
Yeah. Not for nothing, but I just think for $1,000, once you get this process down, it's going to continue to make you money month and month and year after year. So
you have the right attitude. You have the absolute right attitude. And if someday, a year from now, you say, you know what, this damn house, I'm not going to pay on it no more because this thing's upside down. I'm just tired of it. And I can't tell you how many people I personally know that are sitting in your boat. I have no foreclosure issues, no nothing yet. So I'm going to go buy another house right now and get a hell of a deal on a short sale or a quick sale or a fire sale, and then I'm just going to let them walk out on that one. I'll rent it out until they just throw me out, and I make another 12 or 14 grand this year on that house. I can't tell you how many people I know. And you know why they do that? Because they know the system. They're members that have done that. And they know how to work the system right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start looking for some properties then.
Yeah. If that ain't worth $1,000, I don't know what the hell it is. But that's okay.
Yep.
You know, people look at
it's an investment that will pay. It'll pay you back.
If you really think $1,000 is a lot of money, God have mercy on your thinking. It's just not.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we got to keep moving, guys. We're running slow.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, Jesse. See you guys later.
Yeah.
All righty. Thanks so much.
Take care. Yep.
All right. And we're going to go to 951, and I think I know who that is.
It's a newbie. Hi.
Yeah, newbie, my butt. And I know why he's here.
Yeah,
I told him to be here because Jesse's got his answer.
Yes. And just to tell everyone that's starting, it does pay year after year after year. I could say the income from this. I'm just kidding. But no, I'm not. Jesse, hi.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Okay, Maximal, I do have to warn you. We got to get to the two things here because we're running down toward the end of the call here. So we want to get as much in as we can, please.
Okay, Jesse, my 30 days has passed, and it's seasoned enough, and I found out
his
who
judgment
the bank
he's talking
is
about.
With him. I have a default judgment for a substantial amount. You heard about that a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm
trying to collect. I'm in collecting mode now.
Okay.
What can I do, and what process have you done?
I'm all of it right now. So, have you got the writ? You got the writ of execution?
The final judgment says would let execution issue.
Okay, that's fine. So now it's got to be issued. You got to go get it. Okay, so read your rules in specific. And I'll tell you, like right now, if you go to your district court's website, you're going to see papers, and you'll see when it's called a clerk's certification of judgment to be registered in another district. So that means wherever you sued them and they didn't come, if like me, I got to go to Pennsylvania, I'm going to get this signed by my clerk. I'm going to get this taken care of and filed, sent to. She's going to give me a registration of foreign judgment attached to the certification of the judgment along with the judgment. I'm going to send that up to the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. They're going to file it in there. It cost me $48. When it's all done, I get an email. From there, I give it to the marshals in Pennsylvania under code 3506 or statute 3506. I got to give them like 15 days. So then the marshal will go serve them. So you got 15 days. If I don't hear anything on the 16th day, where's Jesse going to be? In Pennsylvania.
At U-Haul getting a truck.
Okay. So Pennsylvania is where you're collecting from them. That's where they are, correct?
Correct. And I'm assuming you're
from
the state also, right?
Mine's in California.
Okay. Well, it's easier. Just go read your rules. You don't even have to have a foreign judgment. So you can collect right there in California. You've got to just get your writ of execution, send it up to the marshals. The marshals will start the process from you and say, okay, well, on such and such a date we can go execute, or you got to give them notice or whatever. The marshals are going to tell you exactly what you need to do. Simple. It really is simple. So, I called them in Eastern Pennsylvania. They were just as nice as pie, man. The gal up there is just real nice gal. And everybody's shocked, though. I'll tell you this. The Middle District of Florida, the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, everybody was shocked. Said, what do you mean? You're going to go actually execute the writ? They didn't pay you? Like, this is, like, foreign to them. Like, all the stuff gets settled long before. So even the people there don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I had to do a lot of research this week and last week.
Yeah.
So.
I did the exact same thing. I called the sheriff in the same county where they are, and the sheriff said it's $300 to execute. All they need is the writ of execution, or I told them I have the final judgment with, you know, that left the execution issue. He said, okay, just sign, have to fill out a form and give them whatever money that they have to execute. And, you know, I don't know, should I take it to the company or should I take it to the bank?
You can't take it to the bank. You have to, first of all, you got to read your rules. That's first and foremost, okay, on how you're going to execute there, because everybody's a little bit different. But to garnish a bank, you're going to have to give them notice. And then if they don't comply, then you can go, because what's going to happen is you're going to have to go through some more discovery.
Oh.
That's right. It's called post-judgment discovery. So now I've got the judgment. Now I got to go see, okay, give me your bank account. Where are they at? Who do you bank with? Yada, yada, yada. See? So you got to go through all this stuff, no matter what. I know what you're thinking. Oh, they're going to come back. But if it's been long enough, there's nothing they're going to do to get away with it, I can promise you.
Right. So what I'm hearing from you is, since I have the writ of execution, you know, my final judgment, all I need to do is take it.
No, I have a final judgment. You don't have a writ of execution yet.
Okay.
You've got to get it from the clerk. Yeah, she'll give you that. Just go look at it. She'll give you that.
Okay, once I get the writ of execution, and then I take those forms to the sheriff to have them execute the writ.
Yeah, yeah. Like the marshals. The sheriff is, you know, sheriffs are just not intimidating. Marshals are.
Hmm.
Well, my suggestion is you go to the marshal's office.
Okay, the marshal's office. Now, would you try to contact them first, the company?
No.
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
Let the marshals be the contact.
Yeah, let them be the contact, because you're going to have 15 days that you're going to have to wait around all that crap anyway. So,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Once they're contacted by the U.S. marshals, they're going to be crapping.
Yeah. Yeah. My first line of contact with these people in Pennsylvania is the marshal. I could care less about anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get the writ, contact the marshals, let them execute.
So, yeah, and then the California statutes, I'm sure, like everywhere else, has certain days that have to lapse before you can just go in. And what that is, it's kind of like a redemption period, right, saying, okay, we'll just pay you, or let's work out a deal, or how much is it going to take to make you go away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in and empty my bank account. So.
Okay.
They do it with you, too. They do it with me. They do it with anybody. So it's not like
I was just going to say, we hear about this from time to time, where people that have gotten judgments all of a sudden get served with a notice to show up in court and bring all the information about all their bank accounts, et cetera, so on and so forth. That's what Jesse was talking about. It's the same procedure.
Exactly.
You want all their assets, correct?
Right.
Because remember, Jesse is a cowboy. Jesse wanted to just fly up Pennsylvania, show up at a U-Haul truck, start emptying crap out. And it's not going to happen. I got to give him 15 days. They ruined my whole fantasy. I mean, they just literally ruined it.
I kind of
answer
that
your question.
I wanted to kick in the door.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I wanted to kick
sir.
The door down, and I had this fantasy of all that. It just ain't going to happen.
All right, real good, real good. All right, thank you guys very much. And man,
yep.
I appreciate it much.
No problem.
All
right. Unfortunately, all I get to do, Dave, is collect my money.
Yeah, that's the big thing. That's a nice paycheck, and Maximal's got a nice fat one as well. All right. We're right at the top of the hour. Did you want to wrap it up here, or you want to take a couple more? What do you want to do, Jesse?
Well, let's take a couple of more, and I mean two, because I got to be up at 3 in the morning. Wife's leaving to California. Her mom just finished that cancer.
All right. Right. Okay. We're going to go to 919. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello, 919, go ahead.
Is that me?
You're the only one that's unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Sweet, okay. Hi, Jesse, I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
It's Debbie from Raleigh, North Carolina, the procrastinator, okay?
Okay, I remember the procrastinator.
You know, I keep saying that, and I'm still working on my suit, and I'm going to get it done this weekend. I got me a goal.
Yeah, sure.
I know. Next time I talk to y'all, you're going to hear about my victory. Years ago in North Carolina, they filed a notice of foreclosure against me for a hearing, okay? Apparently, they didn't follow paragraph 22 under the deed of trust, which was giving you the letter of, you know, your 30-day and your cure and all this
stuff.
That's
appropriate. Yeah. Letter of default.
Okay. And then a year later, in January, they dismissed it with a notice without prejudice, and then the next day they went ahead and filed again against me.
Okay. Nice.
How does that play in my favor?
It doesn't. Why would it play in your favor? They screwed up and they didn't play in your favor at all.
Oh, okay. So they found their mistake, so they went ahead and started the whole process over again.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Exactly what I'm saying. So it doesn't play
well,
in favor at all.
Well, did they send you the letter of default like they were supposed to and cure that deficiency that was there the first time?
August of that year of 2012.
Well, no, I'm just asking you procedurally, did they correct the problem that they had before? Because if they just refile and they haven't corrected the problem, then the problem still exists, correct?
Well, they sent me a letter, you know, like you all say, as far as I look at the letter, everything looks like it's proper in August of 2012. And then they filed again in last year in 2013.
Yeah, so there's nothing doesn't play in your favor at all.
Okay, so they can just go ahead, dismiss it, and then correct their mistakes and then file again against
you. Correct. Yep.
Okay, so I'm asking you, Cetera Sync, you know, they haven't changed the servicer. You know, it's a couple years ago that servicer. I've been looking at some of the questions on your forum. Somebody said if you're one day late, the servicer is considered a third-party debt collector. Is that true or not?
No.
No, okay, because sometimes I get confused about stuff like that. So I'm trying to say.
A servicer would fall as a debt collector if they took over the account while it was in default.
Right.
Not because you're late on a payment.
Right. Okay, I understand that. Okay, that's what I thought. Sometimes I get a little bit confused with that. So what am I going to use against them when I go file against them in federal court?
I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not there with you. I have no idea, but I'm sure they've screwed up.
Yeah, but that's
so all right, so you already bypassed one, okay? So for sure, you know that they're a debt collector.
I do know they're a debt collector.
I'm asking you. You know this for
sure. On their notice it says they're a debt collector. And if they call you, they let you know they're a debt collector.
And did they take the account while it was in default?
No, that's no.
Oh, then they're not a debt collector.
Okay.
They just give you the debt collection disclaimer just to cover their behinds.
Right.
Right, in case since they don't know who they screwed and who they haven't, they're covering their butts on everybody. Right? That makes sense. Okay.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, otherwise the attempt to collect a debt before following paragraph 22 in itself is a violation.
Right.
Because you're using unfair and unconscionable means in an attempt to collect a debt. You're basically scaring me into paying you.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been a violation. These are the things that I'm saying. When you say you go to federal court, there's a million things, literally, and known and unknown, because I can't know everybody's case, and, you know, it's impossible.
Right.
But
and I guess that's why I've been procrastinating, because I've been a member for almost 2 years. Okay, I've been in the House for 2 years, so I'm thankful for that. But to proceed forward, I'm not going to go to federal court and look like a jackass. You know what I mean? So
no, absolutely not. So
I do my complaint, I really don't know what to go after them for.
Well, if they haven't done anything, you have nothing to go after them for. But you do have what they call affirmative defenses.
Okay.
Right? So remember those. Like, I just won my two houses without suing anybody.
Right.
I just, affirmative defenses. Notes, allonges, missing notes, missing allonges, bogus assignments. There's a million and one ways to skin a cat. Which one do you want to go and do, you know?
Right. Because January 17th, I went for a hearing against them. You know, I figure it at least gives me some courage to proceed forward, you know, and so I see how bogus it is when you go to the clerk of the court. There's only four things they go after. And they didn't properly notarize, they didn't have a seal on their affidavit that they have the actual note. But, you know, you said that doesn't matter. The debt doesn't matter. The note doesn't matter.
No. In both of my cases, The note was present the entire time, on the one and for 3 years on the other, and it was completely irrelevant to the case.
Hmm.
You know, again, it's all how you play it and all the deficiencies, right? The one case, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but in the one case, I disqualified their witness, so they had nobody to testify. So there goes their case, their trial. And the other one, you disqualified the note, so the note couldn't be brought into evidence. So there goes their case. You see, simple. So it's just a matter of which one am I using in what circumstance and how do I get to that point. And that's the important part. That's the whole point of the roundtable, is to go through in detail and go through all this stuff because it's very, very time-consuming. You know, I can't go into it in a call. I just can't do it.
I understand that, yeah. And I keep studying and I don't know. I guess that's why I haven't filed a lawsuit against them, you know, because
you don't need to. If they haven't committed it, don't feel that you have to file a lawsuit. You don't.
Well, I have another hearing on the 12th of March, and I'm sure the clerk of the court's going to set a sale date for the house.
Why are you sure about that?
Because she was almost to the point of doing it that day, you know, if the thing was notarized. And also I brought up MERS, and the attorney said MERS has nothing to do with it, and all of them said MERS had nothing to do with it. Was it a lawful assignment or not? You know.
Well, of course it does.
Well, he told me, I go, is it a lawful assignment? He goes, I don't know. He goes, if you say it's not, it's not.
Who said that?
The attorney did.
What attorney? Your attorney? Your attorney? What attorney?
For the substitute trustee for Shapiro and Engle.
Okay. So if you see it, there you go. Is the trustee, have you watched the videos on
I've watched it four times, and I must be missing something. That's why I'm asking you the question.
Because from what you just told me now, I'd be dropping a hammer on the trustee himself. That's who I'd be suing in the federal court, like yesterday. So, you know. If you get a bogus assignment, you know it's bogus, and you've seen robo-assigners, and you know, there's depositions to be taken. You got to sue them. You got to literally sue them, and you can file an injunction up there in North Carolina, a TRO, the non-judicial state. So, you know, I would, there's a million. Listen, what's happening is, again, you're looking for reasons, and I can already tell you're looking for reasons, but you're not taking any action, and you have to take the action. You know, it's a matter of being a lawful assignment. It has to be proven in a court of law. You can't just say, I'm going to substitute Grandma Jones here to take your house, David, and you're going to accept that as gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Dave Mack would accept that as gospel.
Okay.
God scream bloody murder.
I read your TRO on your site, too, okay? And it keeps mentioning a sale that's already been scheduled, you know, like, does that mean that the person has already under the new non-judicial already went before the clerk of the court and they set the hearing, you know, the sale? Is that what it's for or what? I mean,
that's just an example. Everybody's situation is different.
Yeah.
So you have to change it.
Okay.
A temporary restraining order is just very simply, it's a restraining order to stop somebody from doing some action. That's all.
Some action.
Just adapt it to what your situation is.
Right. Yeah. In federal court, of course.
In any court.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And of course, like you said, for your round table, $1,000 is pennies or $100
really
anymore.
Is. I wish most people would see that, you know.
I see that. Yeah. I really do. Okay.
Do you know
what hours you're going
to
have that? And maybe I can get more questions answered. I don't know. I think I'm halfway intelligent, and then sometimes I think I'm mentally retarded.
Yeah.
That's all of it.
Well.
You know, so I don't know.
We got to keep moving ahead here.
Yeah, no.
We got to keep going.
I don't know the hours yet. Let me answer her, Dave. Let me answer her question.
No, go ahead.
I'm not going to pick hours quite yet.
Okay.
So we talk. Once I know everybody's there, we're going to start getting this. There's no hurry to get this done yesterday. So once everybody's signed up and everything's done, then we'll know. Then I can say, okay, guys, what's going to be the best for everybody's schedule? And the majority wins. End of story. So, you know, somebody.
I didn't know if I needed to go ahead and quit my job and do that, you know, or what. That's why I'm asking that question.
Keep working. So, keep working, but look at your TROs for sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a blessed evening.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. And just as a quick note on what Jesse's talking about, the difference, you know, there's some people that have said, oh, well, you know, geez, I got to pay for something. What you're going to be getting is access, specific access to Jesse, and not, you know, putting something on the forum and waiting for an answer and stuff like that. It's going to be totally different. It's going to be well worth the money. And it's not for everybody. There's no question. We understand that. It's not for everybody. All right, let's go to our last caller for tonight. 281, you have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this question is regarding a proof of claim. And the question I have is, if they filed proof of claim and said that Company A was the note holder, and then I have some evidence before that was filed, and then later on, after it was filed, I get some other information showing that, no, someone else is the note holder. Now, I know I can't take any direct action myself against the debt collector, the attorney.
Why can't you?
Okay.
I don't know. You think you can't?
Yeah, okay. I'm asking you.
Well, I guess that's my question. My question, I guess, is in a situation like that where I see evidence that the person or the company that they now say is the note holder was the note holder beforehand, but in the proof of claim, they say that they are the note holder. I guess what course of action would I have against all parties?
Depends on what you want to do. But obviously they're lying to the court.
Correct.
You're
going
to have to cut that affidavit, or that proof of claim was an affidavit of your own, and then you provide the evidence that's there, and then, of course, if you were Jesse, I'd probably sue him, you know.
Okay.
But that's besides the point. You know, I got to make all the deductions. Are they debt collectors? Are they not debt collectors? That's the state.
Well, they are. They are debt collectors for sure.
Well, then I'd go right after them because obviously they're lying, and they contradict themselves.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, and the evidence is on the surface.
Okay.
They provide
and also
one,
okay.
You keep jumping the gun, man. Let me finish.
Okay,
they provided you the evidence of their own contradiction. You don't need to really subside and prove anything. They are the ones who said, well, here's your proof of claim, but then we're going to file something else that's completely different to that.
Right.
So there's your lawsuit. It's done. You don't really need to go any further.
Okay. Now, wouldn't you go after both the debt collector, which are the attorneys, and also, because they're representing, you know, bank, and they got that information, of course, I guess, from a bank. So would you include both parties?
I would include anybody who touched it. So if nobody touched it, then I wouldn't sue them.
Okay. And last question also, would you then consider bringing that to the court's attention as well, that this proof of claim was filed here, and obviously it's fraudulent.
Remember what I said? You'd file with what? An affidavit rebutting all that and your evidence. That
okay.
has nothing
okay.
to do to one court, but that's still separate from a lawsuit I'm going to hammer down on them in the federal court under the FDCPA and whatever state Unfair and Trade Deceptive Practices Act. I mean, there's a million. Again, guys, you have to look at this from the big picture, just the big picture. Everybody gets caught up in their little situation, one little situation, versus looking at the whole entire situation. And they've done this. They always focus on one thing. Oh, this one piece of evidence or this one assignment or this. There's so many ways to skin a cat. It's unbelievable. And until you start to learn to see that with big, wide open eyes, you'll never be successful in defeating them. Because trust me, they have 50 attorneys in their firm to you. You have one yourself.
Right.
You have to look bigger and brighter-eyed than they are at all times.
Okay.
Just remember that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, bud. Good night.
All
anyway,
right.
Dave, you want to wrap this up, man? I think it's pretty close. I don't know if I'm going to
yep,
bother going
yep,
to bed.
Yep, that is the end of the deal for tonight. I want to go through real quickly. We've got a webinar tomorrow. 3 o'clock Eastern. What's the subject matter of the webinar tomorrow?
We're doing 26F. We're looking at it closely to see all the different things and how timing works on it, how timing can work to your advantage.
Good.
There you go,
everybody,
and that's for the members. If you're not a member, get signed up, and you'll be able to be in there 3 o'clock Eastern. All right, and then tomorrow night, of course, there's Terry's call. That starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. If you are not on her mailing list, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Do it tonight. Don't do it tomorrow. Give her plenty of time to have that in her system so she can get the information out to you. That does start at 8 o'clock Eastern, and that's a support call as well. And then we jump ahead to Monday. Monday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern on TalkShoe. The pin there is 54318. That's Dallas Death Discussion. We're coming up on 5 years. Never missed a Monday, everybody. So we're always there. I have people say, oh, are you having a call on Monday? I always have a call on Monday. I never miss it. So count on that. That's more support. But the bottom line is, as I've said so many times, these calls are not a substitute for being a member of the site. You get bits and pieces here in the site. You get the whole deal. We help fit the pieces together here. It's not a substitute. So it's minimal in cost, $99 the first month, $49 after that, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it free of charge risk-wise. So thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. Jesse, you got any last comments?
No, man, just God bless everybody. Keep your eye on your email. I'm going to send out another email tomorrow regarding the final and last call for the roundtable, and I'm done. Not in by Friday,
okay.
You're not in. Simple as that. So all I need is a yes, and I can't even get a simple yes from a lot of people. They're iffy. So with that being said, I'm done. Thanks, everybody, for joining, and we will see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.